I'm Jonathan Capehart, in today for Leonard Lopate. Most people probably know that their everyday transactions on Google, Facebook, or Amazon give details about their daily lives, shopping, eating, reading, and viewing habits, but few recognize that every doctor visit generates data on medical conditions, prescriptions, insurance claims, and lab tests. The data is scrubbed of some personal information and then sold to businesses. Trafficking in medical data is now a multi-billion dollar industry, and here to discuss the implications of medical data mining is Adam Tanner, writer in residence at Harvard's Institute for Quantitative Social Science. His latest book, How Companies Make Billions Selling Our Medical Records, is published by Beacon, and I'm pleased it brings him to the show today. Thank you very much, Adam, for being here.
Good afternoon.
Okay, so I will admit, yeah, I knew Google and all those folks. Every time I type something in, they have my information. But I, for some reason, naively thought that what happens in the doctor's office between me and my physician is sacrosanct. That is held sort of like attorney-client privilege. And so now I'm just sort of wondering, is anything private anymore?
Well, so of course it has been sacrosanct going back to antiquity. The door would close, you talk to the doctor, you would tell him your most intimate medical problems, and only the doctor would know. But what has happened is medical information has become digitized. And the electronic record system that the doctor uses may sell your data. The doctor may send you to the pharmacy. They may sell your data. The blood test lab where the doctor sends you may sell the data. And the insurer that pays for all of this may sell the data. Now, the information doesn't say Jonathan. It says man, this age, living in this postal zip code, who has this doctor, and the doctor is named. So over time, they gather a file or a dossier about your medical conditions that goes back for years. It's the Jonathan medical file. Your information is all in there. It's very intimate. It just doesn't have your name on it.
But I mean, given our modern age, I mean, that sort of would make sense 15, 20 years ago. But knowing that there's a file that might not have my name on it, but has my zip code, doctor's names, various conditions, I mean, you don't have to be Columbo these days to try to figure out who that is. How is that even legal?
So under the U.S. laws that govern how health data is used, which are called HIPAA, if your name is taken off of it and a few other identifiers, that is not considered your information anymore. Others can do whatever they want with it. It's as though there was a naked photo of you, your head was removed, and then it was circulated. That might be very intimate and something you wouldn't want to be in circulation, but our medical data, it is allowed.
Okay, I'm sitting here stunned because I was about to ask you about the HIPAA laws. I mean, you watch any medical drama, you talk to any doctor, it's like, oh, we can't talk about that because the HIPAA laws make that's illegal. And what you're saying is you just take the head off and everything is fine?
That's what the law says now. So I think we should talk about the possibility of extending the rights to our data to include any medical data about us, whether the name is on it or not. Think about a blood test. You go to a lab such as Quest or LabCorp or other labs. They take a blood test. Information about you from inside is drawn. That information can be sold commercially, again, in anonymized form, but it has nothing to do with your treatment, this sale. This has to do with largely with marketing for pharmaceutical companies, for sales and marketing.
So that's what this is all about.
It's about sales and marketing. So some of the companies that deal in this information say this will help advance science. But so far, there has not been any amazing breakthrough in conquering disease or finding new medications. There's been some interesting insights, but it's mostly about sales and marketing.
So, I mean, just to take this out of the abstract, and you use the example of a naked picture, take the head off, and, you know, whether that's the person's privacy is being violated. But we have the a recent example of actor Charlie Sheen and what happened with him. I mean, he felt forced to reveal his HIV status because his medical records were compromised, no?
So medical information is some of our most personal and intimate details that there are about ourselves. So in the case of Charlie Sheen, he was HIV positive. Some outsiders came to learn of it, and they blackmailed him, and he said he has paid millions of dollars. There's stories in circulation today that perhaps Russia has information about Donald Trump. Now, we have no idea whether this is the case or not, but medical information would be something that would be very sensitive. You could try to obtain it from these anonymized files. You could try to obtain it from doctor's office in regular named information. But this is an area of considerable vulnerability because once your medical information is out there in circulation, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Are we ever given the option to prohibit our doctors and our blood takers and all these folks from selling our data? Is there a form or, you know, like when you download an app and they say agree to the terms and we never read what the terms are, we just click OK. But is there any way to prevent doctors and any other entity related to our doctor's visit from selling our information?
Basically, no. Now, not every electronic health record system sells data. Not every insurer sells data. You could try to choose those ones, but it's extremely difficult as an individual to do that. The best way to change the laws to empower all patients to decide what to do with their information, whether they want to donate to science anonymously, whether they do or don't, it would be up to the individual.
How much is all of this stuff worth? How much would my medical information be worth?
Well, sad to say, you personally are not worth that much. But individually, but collectively, this is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Traditionally, for example, a prescription might sell for a single penny, a copy of your prescription records. But as I say, over across the industry, a multi-billion-dollar business, the largest and best-known data miner within the industry is called Quintiles IMS. That's a company worth almost $20 billion.
And this applies to anybody who goes into any medical facility. This isn't just people with health insurance and folks without health insurance. They might be in the clear from being data mined.
No, this is anyone who touches the health system. And not only in the United States, this is a worldwide trade. Even in countries where they seemingly have better privacy protections, there's also trade. There's also the creation of these dossiers. In fact, this company I mentioned, Quintiles IMS, they have more than 500 million dossiers on individual patients going back for years.
Is there anything good that's going to come of this? Because I think you said earlier that one of the reasons they wanted to do this was to help the common man, help to get information that would help cure diseases and heal, you know, I was going to say heal colds, but you know what I mean. And now it sounds like it's all just one giant marketing ploy.
There are many good and smart people who work in these businesses that buy and sell our patient data. However, the sale of the information typically does not benefit the individual right now. There is this hope that perhaps all of this big data will reveal new insights, but still the best way to advance science to find new drugs and insights is still doing traditional testing where you receive the drug, I don't. We're in two different patient groups. Mm-hmm. They see what the impact is. Those traditional kinds of testing methods are still the most proven best ways to date. Now, it may be that we want to donate our data to help science. Maybe it will help. But I think we should have the choice to where we will decide whether or not to participate and to what institutions we will donate our data.
Now, you found that some experts blame one of the major electronic health records companies, Epic. Can you talk about Epic, which I think was started in 1979? Who started it?
Well, so there's sort of a paradox of data, and that is that there is this commercial stuff about us in circulation that we have no control over and we cannot see. But at the same time, we don't have access to our own comprehensive medical records. So if I'm actually in town, I'm teaching this year in Alaska. If something happens to me here and we need to see all of my medical records, they're not available. There's no one file about me to help my doctors care for me. So the company you mentioned is one of the electronic medical records providers. And some people say, why don't they do a better job of matching all the data between the different companies? It's a complicated topic, but the bottom line is there is this paradox. Commercial data gatherers doing these anonymized profiles have done a much better job of building dossiers about us than our own healthcare providers to treat us for our own benefit.
And so is there any way to have the two sides meet and, you know, serve the greater good here? Or are the profit margins just too large for this conversation to happen?
Well, I mean, it's not impossible. If someone can put together a dossier about you, even though it's anonymized, it proves that you could gather medical data and help patient care. It's a complicated topic, as I suggest, but it's not impossible. I think the end goal of writing this book, Our Bodies, Our Data, is to let people know what's happening and then to have an intelligent discussion. How do you best advance, for example, patients having their own records? How do you allow patients to have more privacy? and allow science to go forward. But it's hard to have that conversation if the trade is completely hidden. And unfortunately, that's where we are today.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, it's almost impossible for a patient to access their own data themselves.
I mean, there are some select medical systems, and if you're with them for many, many years, they may have fairly comprehensive records. But for most people who've moved jobs, moved cities, gone to different places, changed doctors, usually your information is splattered across many different providers.
And there's a doctor called into the show while we were speaking to just sort of remind the audience that doctors don't make money off the information. The medical records companies, the labs, the pharmacies, middlemen, they're the ones who make the money.
Exactly.
I've been speaking with Adam Tanner, a fellow at Harvard University's Institute for Quantitative Social Science. His latest book is Our Bodies, Our Data, How Companies Make Billions Selling Our Medical Records. Tonight at 6:30 p.m., he'll be speaking at Midtown Public Library. That's at 455 Fifth Avenue. For more information, visit our show page at wnyc.org/lowpaid. Thank you so much for joining us today. You're
Thanks
listening to
much.
WNYC and WNYC.org.